Should I get started?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for coming. We are very excited by this wonderful turnout. This is very impressive and really exciting for all of us. To let you know, we are recording the meeting. And so the way it will work is that I'm going to call names from the initial sign-up list to come up and speak at the podium to present your ideas on the relicensing process and the resource issues related to relicensing. So we'll have you stand at the podium and give your name. Let's see.
How long you want people to speak for? 2 minutes?
Well, we have about 20 people on the list for now. And after the list is exhausted, anyone else who wants to speak, just come up and give your name after that. So if you could try to keep your remarks to 5 minutes or less, I think that would probably be the best idea, just so we can get everybody to speak. This won't be your only option for public comment and involvement in the process. This meeting is required by our license process for application, and this is our opportunity to hear from you and in anyone who's interested. We have representatives from the DNR here, so the resource agencies, tribes, anyone who's interested to come give their input on the process and the resource issues that you see with the river, what you'd like to see with regards to the license application.
Turn it off.
Okay. I'm sorry. So this is not your only option for public comment. We have business cards out in the back for myself, Kevin, Chuck, and Scott Simpson. You can contact us at any time. We want this to be an open and transparent process, and we want to make sure everyone feels like that they've been heard and that this is an effective process. So with that, I'll just toss it to Kevin for a few remarks.
Well, thank you, Ray. Ray's worked very hard on putting this together tonight. He's done worked very hard on putting together this whole proposal for this project, along with him and Brian Hatch, who was sitting over here. I'm not sure where he is now. He's raising his hand. So those two fellows right there, along with Chuck Bronick. Again, I'm Kevin Westhouse. I'm your utility director here in River Falls, and I cannot say thank you enough for the amount of energy you've shown here tonight. This is unbelievable amount of people from this community who've come out to have a say and hear what's going on with this process. It's pretty exciting. How many of you went to the to see the hydros and the dams? Quite a few. So we make sure we have everybody, the buddy system. We all got your buddy with you tonight, so everybody's here. That's good. No one got lost. Again, I just want to thank you all for coming. We have a lot of experts here have been working on this project that can maybe answer some questions. This is going to be a lot more of a listening session than anything. But again, we have many experts here, including the DNR as well, if it gets down in the weeds that far. So maybe we won't tonight, but we'll see. Let me see. I just want to recognize a few other people, too. We have city council members in the audience, city council candidates potentially in the audience, and recognize those folks as well. Scott, I want to maybe turn it over to our city administrator, Scott Simpson, for a few opening remarks before we get started.
All right. Well, I just get to see my back. I'm sorry. Might have missed a couple of Ray's statements as I was trying to get the chairs in here, but welcome to City Hall if it's your first time. You're in the only LEED certified City Hall in the state of Wisconsin. Kind of a testament of what this community is made of. Appreciate everybody's attendance. I'm not sure I appreciate the professors at UW Falls who assigned extra credit, but this is a lot more common occurrence at city government than you'd think. We often look at the crowd and go, wow, this is great, and then we find out they all are taking notes for their class. So a couple things I wanted to mention. We are recording the meeting so that we have some kind of record of what's going on. This isn't a public hearing in the sense that you might have seen on TV or something, other places. So it's not a quasi-judicial type, you're providing your testimony. I think the group would appreciate it if you don't give testimony. Try to keep your remarks brief and to the point. If somebody else has already stolen your thunder, it's okay. We understand people have the same feelings. We don't necessarily need to hear you, but you're welcome to come up and say that if you'd like to. But I just appreciate everybody thinking about everybody's time. We're not video recording this meeting, so there isn't video being taken to the meeting. And I just want to provide a couple points that I've heard or Q&A that I've had up until this point. Like Kevin indicated and Ray indicated, we're primarily here just to listen to what people have to say about the dams and the relicensing issues. But I do want to make a couple points that I think would be important before we get started, because there are things I've heard, questions that have been unanswered that might be on people's minds to start. There was a question about the traditional licensing plan versus the integrated licensing process. There are three licensing processes under the FERC. In fact, the one we're using is the common practice. So there seems to be some misinformation about the city trying to get a special exception or something, and that's not the case. In fact, there's 8 FERC dams under relicensing right now in the state of Wisconsin, and 7 of them are using the traditional licensing process. It's the common process for dams, and it's the one we thought best fit the circumstances here in River Falls. So there wasn't any intention on staff to not get feedback. We're used to getting feedback. Our emails and phone numbers are all public. We work in a public building. So we're fine and happy with as much feedback as people want to provide us, and we'll continue to take that throughout the process. One of the other things that has been mentioned is that this is your only chance tonight in 30 years to have a say about the dams, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. We have 24 city council meetings a year, 12 utility advisory board. I have 125 staff in the city, again, all with emails and phone numbers and offices. They're all happy to get feedback. We consider every opportunity and discussion we have with a citizen or member of the public to be a time for feedback. So anyone who lives in this community has ample opportunity at any time to provide feedback. So this is not your only chance in the next 30 years to have a discussion about the dam or the relicensing of the hydros. The other thing that I wanted to mention is there's 2 projects that have been identified as possible costs for the hydroelectric relicensing issue. One was identified, self-identified by the city in their last permit and is available on the reporting sites from FERC. It was a bluff stabilization project identified in our capital improvement project plan and funded until a few years ago to stabilize some bluff area at the area of the power plant. At this point, the city does not feel that that's necessary. It was primarily related to the bluffs and the diesel generators, and that's not an issue that's attached at all to the hydroelectric dams, and it's not a project that's on the plan in our capital improvements plan and plan to be done. We don't believe that there's any need to do that based on the best information we have available. There is a plan to do, and there were some questions today at the power plant tour, there is a plan to remove the primary, the guts, so to speak, the control center of the power plant outside of the original power plant building and into a new substation area just outside, and probably includes the construction of some small buildings. Some people call them huts, but small garages to have those housed securely and 24-hour accessible. I think one thing people don't realize is that we have 3 major transmission lines coming into River Falls. They're all in that. So the stuff that was in that room today was not just important for the city of River Falls, but if you live in Baldwin or Roberts or other places, you wouldn't want people to be touching those switches or doing anything with that. So the city's what the city council has identified as a priority is for us first to isolate all of the transmission-related bus work. Again, apologize that I've got my back to you. And once that is identified and isolated, then the community can have a discussion about what they want to do with the power plant building. Because we'll have all the dangerous, expensive, important, critical infrastructure out of the building. That gives us a lot more flexibility about what the future of the power plant building could be. The thought was also that the discussion about any changes to hydroelectric generation would occur after that substation had been done. Staff considered the relicensing process to be more of a routine matter, so that we could have a future discussion about whether or not the dams would stay. The council has a work plan session each year They look at about 200 different great ideas that people in the community have about what they'd like the future of River Falls to be. This last go around, they selected about 50 of those to put in our work plan and said to staff, this is the important stuff you need to focus on. The Lake George Rehabilitation Plan, which has been talked about a little bit, did not make the list of the top 50. So staff has been dutifully doing other priorities of the city. Another point I just want to make quickly is we do not see the licensing of the hydro connected to the decision about the removal or keeping of the dams. In fact, even if the hydros are not relicensed, there's still the question of the dams. The dams can stand without the hydros. So obviously you can't have hydros without a dam, but the reverse is not true. So there's lots of discussion, and we're happy to hear what people have to say, but that gives a little perspective of kind of how we got to where we're at, and we're looking forward to good dialogue. Restrooms are out in the hallway here. The training room still has some refreshments for people who need to dive out. It's probably going to get warm in here. We'll do our best to keep the temperature regulated, and we'd like everybody to not block the exits. We got to keep some ability to get people in and out safely. So if we can't do that, we'll have to limit the amount of people, and I don't think we want to do that. So with that, I'll throw it back to Ray. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. All right, we'll move right into the speaking list with Martha Pipegrass.
I support retaining the hydroelectric dam that keeps Lake George in place. Lake George is an asset to this city and has the potential to be a wonderful recreational resource for all its citizens. I ask everyone to think about Lake Calhoun in Minneapolis, Lake Monona in Madison, and Lake Geneva. They all have walking paths that attract people to stroll and run in a natural setting without leaving their city. These paths are also child-friendly, giving local parents a chance to get outside and show their children a little nature for an hour or two on a Sunday afternoon. City lakes with asphalt or concrete walking paths offer people of all ages a chance to exercise, to socialize, to enjoy the change of seasons, and to observe nature. My own parents have enjoyed the Reservoir Lake in Estes Park, Colorado, well into their 80s. Until last year at age 88, they walked every morning in the summertime and enjoyed saying hello to many fellow walkers. As I anticipate retirement in River Falls in the next 10 years, I would hope to have the same opportunity here walking around Lake George. I don't see why a non-natural lake should not deserve to exist. A city reservoir lake with a concrete or asphalt walking path has great advantages of accessibility, and yet it attracts an abundance of wildlife for birds nesting in the spring and for a deer and other wildlife drinking water all times of year. I have heard the phrase, the city turned its back on the Kinney. Well, the city runs below ground level and it's invisible, except at the bridges and at Lake George. Why get rid of the best viewscape citizens have of this river that is supposedly an important part of this city's identity? Wouldn't it be great if all school children could learn about the animal and bird wildlife who use the Kinney as a corridor? Can you imagine a better place to teach them than a walking path around Lake George with nature education signage? Say, wouldn't that be a great project for the Friends of the Kinney? Hint, hint. I also support keeping the hydroelectric generating capacity in place. I am surprised that environmentalists want to get rid of a profitable source of renewable, clean power. Tearing down the dam and forcing us to burn more coal, the dirtiest fuel possible, to generate the power to replace the dam's output strikes me as crazy. I am a city resident, a taxpayer, and a municipal electric ratepayer. I hope the city of River Falls finds a way to keep Lake George and its hydroelectric dam and continue to develop its recreational potential.
Thank you. Judy Babcock.
Thank you. I'm Judy Foster Babcock, and I wanted to speak tonight on behalf of consideration during the FERC process of some of the studies that need to be completed so we can understand the economic and recreational impacts to this project as it goes forward. I represent the fifth generation of Fosters in this community, having our family settled here since 1848, and many people know the story of Joel Foster in the cave under the power plant. So if you want to know about that, contact me. But I just want to ask that the process that you go through really include a clear understanding of the economic value of this project and its alternatives. That's my request.
Thank you. Susan Good.
Susan Good, a landowner on the Lower Kenny. I was here last week at the utility, have the, sort of the same request as offered up at that time. The city did a wonderful job offering up, looking at the operational expenses associated with running a hydroelectric plant. And I think what we really need to understand as part of this process is what I would describe as fully allocated costs. Given the infrastructure of the dams, the buildings, and everything that's included, I think we need to understand what replacement costs, what depreciation would look like if we were to have to, in the future, replace the hydroelectric, what that might look like. And so that we just don't do the comparison of, you know, what does it cost on a day-to-day basis and look at the full expenses of that. Because while, you know, Marty in her comments described it as economically feasible, it is only on an operating expense line. And until we see the fully allocated costs, we're unable to see whether it's, in fact, profitable. And I'd like to comment about the green aspects. I'm in favor of having, you know, a hydroelectric. I appreciate the city taking a step in that direction. But I also see the impacts on the lower river in terms of the changes in temperature and other things. And so I think we need to look at all the trade-offs, not just one or the other. I think there's ways that we can have a great Lake George area, you know, have it be natural or some other environment that we can educate kids around. But I think there's things that we can do to the ecology of the lower river that improves that as well. So I just ask the city to look at the you know, costs associated with, you know, the full cost of running the hydroelectric plant. Thank you.
Thank you. Andy Roth.
I'll pass it this time.
Okay. Francis Ogden.
Hello, I'm Francis Ogden. I've been a resident of River Falls since 1969. From 1971 through 1978, I was the city engineer, so I know quite a bit about the city, and I've been a consulting engineer here for 40 years. So as I look at the situation, I would say I want to encourage relicensing of the facilities unless there's some major cost involved that would make it impractical. Beyond generating cost-effective and environmentally sound electricity, it creates the two ponds that some people are concerned about because they tend to increase the water temperature and discourage trout, but the fact is that downstream from River Falls there are plenty of trout. I like the wildlife, especially the ducks and geese that frequent these two ponds. Just as I was waiting out here, I saw a flock of geese come in and enjoyed that, and I noticed down along the river bank there were many geese and ducks here already. And among other things, as a goose and duck hunter, it's nice to have some around. And that's why they are around. They have a place to come and rest. So I like that and encourage maintaining that. I think that pretty much covers my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. William Driscoll?
I'm going to withdraw, sir.
Okay. Bob McGillivray?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Bob McGillivray. I have been fishing the Kinney for several decades. I also am a landowner on the Lower Kinney, and I would like in this process to see what effects either the retention of the dams and the hydroelectric will have on the fishery, and what effect removal of the hydroelectric and the dams would have on the lower fishery. As I think probably everyone in this room knows, we have a fantastic fishery here for trout, and I think to a large extent that is because that this is a spring-fed river to a large extent. However, with these two dams that have been here for so long, I certainly don't know this, but it makes me wonder if there aren't some tailwater aspects of the lower fishery in particular as a result of these dams. So I think to make a decision on this, we really need to look at the effects on the fishery of either keeping or removing the dams and the hydroelectric. Specifically, I think we need to know what effect removal would have on the flows, what effect would there be on sediment by a change in those dams. In other words, is some of the sediment settling into those lakes and being held back by the dams, or would that situation be improved by removal of them? Also, what effect on temperature? Is the water getting heated up as a result of being in those lakes, or is the water actually cooler coming out of the dams because it's coming from lower in the lakes from the bottom when it comes out? Although, of course, some of it's coming over the top, but some, as it comes through, is coming out the bottom. And then what effect from runoff from the city streets? As I'm sure a lot of you know, the river can really heat up in the summer when we get a rainstorm on a hot day. And just what effect would removal of those dams, how would that change that formula? Would it make that situation better, or would it make it worse? And similarly, with respect to runoff issues with sediment and pollutants that may come off city streets, particularly in those flash rainstorms. So I guess what I would request is before any decision is made on this, that a thorough study be done on all of these elements with a particular emphasis on what it would do to this fantastic trout fishery that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. One aspect of the process I think we forgot to mention was that in addition to the comments we're receiving tonight, anyone who is interested through your organizations or on an individual basis have 60 days as of this meeting to submit written comments to the Federal Energy Regulation Commission, Regulatory Commission, and the city on this subject of the studies and the licensing process. So we are taking notes, and we'll be able to respond that way. But I also want to let you know that there's that option of 60 days to submit written comments as well.
I have a question for Ray. Hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot here. But all these questions tonight, Ray, you'll be most likely condensing these questions and then maybe putting them on our website. Is that something that probably
yes.
be done?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good.
People just asked to make sure the speaker talks in sync. I turned the volume up as high as
So okay. Scott indicated that he's turned the volume up on the microphones as loud as it goes. So when you do take the podium, just get right up to the microphone and go ahead and bark right into it.
All right, thank you. Keith Rodley.
These are both the same?
Yes.
All right. I'm Keith Rodley, town of River Falls, businessman on Main Street in River Falls for 40 years, not as long as Francis. Where is Francis? There he is. I'm right behind him. This should be noted that the tour this afternoon was really gracious and informative, and to all you guys who hosted that, thank you. And that really extends to last Monday night's meeting. It has struck me that the staff is wide open to a discussion. I don't see any kind of shepherding process going on here where you're trying to prevent conversation, and I don't take that for granted. I think we're fortunate as a community. I'm associated with a recently formed organization that Marty alluded to, the Friends of the Kinney. It formed in response to the news that the city was pursuing this relicensing process. And when I was first approached by some friends, I honestly didn't know what I thought about this question. I hadn't given it a lot of thought. I did some reading, some research, some thinking, and I came to a conclusion that the disadvantages of the dams seemed to outweigh their advantages. And so with that, I agreed to become a part of that organization, and here I am now. But I have to say that since then, I've talked to a lot of friends and people who really care about the river who have raised a bunch of questions, and I don't claim to have the answers. And maybe even the points that Marty and Francis made here, you know, maybe those points are the prevailing points. But what's really apparent is that we need the studies that have been referred to. And FERC must envision that because they've created this window. The one thing this community doesn't need is to have a fight over this question. It's a great opportunity for us to come together and have a discussion where we speak and we listen to one another. And that starts with getting the facts. So there are a couple of studies that members of our group are going to speak to more specifically. Hal Watson will talk about finances. And I think for many people, it comes down to cost. And it isn't just the question of whether the dams are profitable right now, but do we take into consideration things like repair costs going forward in the next 30 years, maintenance costs? And if so, can we get a handle on what those are so we get a true look at what the financial implications? Kent Johnson is going to talk about the effects of the dams on the health of the river, which has been referred to by several people. To me, personally, that's the heart of the whole question, because I think we all would agree we've got this gem of a river going right through the heart of the community. And I just want to read from the city's comprehensive plan because it really frames this. That was adopted in 2005 and I think is still in effect. This is what the city's comprehensive plan says. The Kinnickinnick River is perhaps the finest cold water resource in the upper Midwest, if not the entire United States. Designated as an outstanding resource water by the Wisconsin DNR, the Kinney is one of two Class 1 trout streams in Wisconsin that flow through a city of 10,000. This natural gem, the statement continues, is truly unique and the centerpiece of our community, which is located on the falls of the Kinney. And when I read that, I thought actually probably the dams are on top of the falls of the Kinney, which kind of goes to the argument that some of us are making, and that is that if we take the dams out, what are we going to have? And that's another study I think we need to have, because I know I have some good friends who say, wait a minute, that's a bunch of toxic sludge underneath Lake George, and if we take the dams out, we're going to have a big problem. It's going to be ugly and so forth. Well, is that true? And can we get to the bottom of that? And are reclamation steps possible so that we could have cascading falls going through the heart of the community with a beautification project built around that? And maybe that just becomes the pride of River Falls. I think we can get answers to that, at least that we can get some reasonable input. So then we can have our community discussion. So I get the impression that the city is wide open to a collaborative approach. I think it's going to be key to identify the right studies, get the right quality, independent sources to do those studies, and then let's have a discussion.
Thank you. Michael Page.
Thank you. You'll have to excuse me. I've never spoken in front of this many people before, and I'm very nervous.
Me too.
But so my name is Michael Page. I've lived here in River Falls for my entire life, and I have been fishing, canoeing, kayaking the Kinney for over a quarter of a century, and I absolutely love this river, as I know many of you here today do as well. Others have spoken and will speak today, bringing essential topics to the floor associated with the potential removal or relicensing of the dams. And I would like to include in this discussion the potential for increased tourism and recreational opportunities right here in the heart of our community that would certainly occur if the dams were removed and the Kinney allowed to flow freely again. The positive economic impacts our community would experience as a result of this revitalization would be substantial both today and for generations to come. As a part of this relicensing process, we need to further evaluate these potential economic benefits that would result from the increased tourism and recreation in the heart of our community. We must also include in that consideration the opportunity to avoid the potentially drastic expenses that are related to the relicensing of this dam. There may be some economic value in the production of electricity from these dams, but neither you nor I know that right now. Further research into long-term costs of their operation and maintenance needs to be conducted before we will know the answer to that question. What I do know is that the true value that lies in this beautiful river is in its restoration. The true value of bringing a living river back to the heart of our community for our children and for our children's children is priceless. River Falls claims to be the city on the Kinney, but we truly are not. We are in actuality the city between the Kinney, with the upper and lower Kinneys on either side of town, with Lake George and Lake Louise here within our borders. If you take a drive north of town on any given day of the week, you will see multiple cars parked at each of the fishermen's landings along the river. If you hike below the lower dam, you will come across dozens of people out enjoying the river, out running, hiking, biking, fishing, and kayaking. Yet if you sit in Veterans Park all day at the center of our community, you will likely only see people passing by the river with hardly a glance. Or maybe stopping briefly to peek down at the water from the footbridge, you will not notice any fishermen or kayaks going by the river. The river here in the heart of downtown is not a draw. It is more of an eyesore. The Kinney is 22 miles long in total. The stretch of water in town starting at Division Street and ending at the lower dam is just over 1 mile in length. This stretch through town is a stagnant, poorly oxygenated, unnaturally warm, and underutilized waterway with little recreational opportunity. This mile of river constitutes almost 5% of the total length of our beloved Kinney, and yet through this stretch, the Kinney lies buried beneath the flat and tepid waters of Lake George and Lake Louise. Through this stretch, you do not see people recreating. You do often see people walking along the white pathway, however, and I feel that utilization of this white pathway would surely increase if we're alongside a free-flowing Kinney with a Lake George restoration project in place with expanded trails, cascading waterfalls, and wetlands maintained for the geese and swans per that reconfiguration plan. Last summer, my brother Eric and I took our daughters, Isla and Savannah, age 2 and 5, out in a canoe on Lake Louise. And I'd just like to ask how many people here today have ever been on Lake Louise? Okay. That's more than I thought, but that's very good. Water skied on it. We hiked down there through Glen Park, carried a canoe down below the upper dam, and we explored Lake Louise. I brought my fishing rod thinking that I might have some productive fishing opportunities on Lake Louise, and found that the lake is completely filled in with silt. It is 2 to 3 feet deep at max. There's possibly a slightly deeper channel just in front of the dam, but the lake is completely silted in and offers no valuable recreational opportunities, and that is 15 acres of land in the heart of our town that, if utilized, could substantially increase the size of the Glen Park recreational area. But I diverge. While it's not easily quantifiable, all one has to do to evaluate the difference in recreational utility between Lake George or Lake Louise and a free-flowing Kinney is to take a short walk on a warm summer day. Start out at the Winter Street Bridge near the power plant and look down at the algae-filled lake that exists below. And then take a stroll a block away to the swinging bridge that crosses the now naturally flowing South Fork of the Kinney. Yes, even the South Fork had a dam or two impeding its flow in its day. And look down from that bridge. At the first stop, I can guarantee you did not particularly enjoy the view, nor did you notice anyone recreating on the water there. At the second stop, I'm sure you were struck with the beauty of the scene, and very likely there were multiple people exploring the free-flowing river below and enjoying the cascading waterfalls. Now imagine the view from the Winter Street Bridge with the dam removed, and a very similar cascading falls present below, but with 4 to 5 times the flow of water passing over these new falls in the heart of our community. Just imagine. Thank you.
Thank you. Heather Davis? Thank you. Kent Johnson?
Good evening, everybody. I want to thank everybody for coming. This is a great turnout. And I guess I'm going to have my back to somebody here in the room, too. But my name is Kent Johnson. I'm a resident of Hudson, Wisconsin, but I'm a longtime and frequent Kinnikinnick River visitor for reasons related both to fly fishing and science. My educational background is in aquatic biology and aquatic toxicology, and I have 35 years of professional experience in water monitoring and water resources planning and management in the public sector. I've been a member of the Kaptowish chapter of Trout Unlimited since 1989, and our mission is to conserve and restore cold water resources in western Wisconsin, primarily working in St. Croix and Pierce counties. And I'd have to say the Kinnikinnick River is one of the chapter's favorite cold water resources. It's been near and dear to our mission for many years. And in past years, Kaptowish has partnered with the City of River Falls on successful efforts related to stormwater management and river restoration. I'd like to thank Chuck Baranek, who was utility superintendent, operations superintendent, for his presentation on City River Falls hydropower facilities and the FERC relicensing process last week at the March 17th Utility Advisory Board meeting. And the take-home message I got from that meeting was the strong emphasis that FERC places on two primary factors in the relicensing process. One is dam safety, and the second is natural resource impacts. So I'm here this evening to speak about the latter issue, natural resource impacts, and I'll be speaking this evening on behalf of Kaptowish Chapter of Trout Unlimited and also Friends of the Kinney. Specifically, I'll be summarizing the studies that Kaptowish and Friends of the Kinney feel are necessary to adequately assess the environmental impacts of the City River Falls hydropower facilities on the Kinnikinnick River. And in the interest of time, I'm going to have to be brief this evening, but just to let you know that Kaptowish and Friends of the Kinney will be submitting much more detailed information related to these recommended studies by the May 23rd comment deadline. Kaptowish and Friends of the Kinney are recommending that studies be conducted in five major categories to assess environmental impacts of City River Falls hydropower facilities. Some of these studies simply consist of compilation and assessment of existing information, while other studies are more complex and involve monitoring, modeling, and planning work to fill key information gaps and answer important questions. So I'd like to provide you with just a brief summary of each of the five key environmental categories where impacts of the city's hydropower facilities either are or may be evident. First category is temperature, and as we all know, this is a very critical consideration for a cold water resource like the Kinnikinnick River. So the recommended studies will better determine temperature impacts of the hydropower facilities on Lakes George and Louise and also on the downstream Kinnikinnick River. I'd like to note that Kaptowish has been conducting temperature monitoring of the Kinnikinnick River and tributaries at seven sites since 1992. And when we initiated those studies at that time, we were wanting to obtain more information for evaluating the impacts of stormwater and hydropower facilities in the City of River Falls. So we do have a rich data set of temperature information available for analysis of hydropower-related thermal impacts. I'm going to say that the future impacts of climate change must be a major consideration during the current relicensing process. The city's hydropower facilities are already warming the river, and that includes both Lakes George and Louise and the downstream Kinney. And climate change may impose a very significant additional future temperature impact. And so in combination, these two temperature stresses could tip the balance toward loss of a valuable cold water resource, at least for portions of the Kinney. The second major category is hydrology, or river flow. We'll note that the current FERC license requires the hydropower facilities to operate in a run-of-river condition, which is absolutely critical for maintaining downstream aquatic habitats and biological communities. And so recommended studies in this category will help determine whether the hydropower facilities have been meeting that Run a River license requirement during the current permit period. The third key category is water quality, and recommended studies will examine the extent to which the hydropower facilities are impacting water quality in the two lakes, George and Louise, and also the downstream Kinney. Fourth category is biology. And the aquatic river residents, such as fish, invertebrates, plants, are often in the best position to provide us with the feedback we need on their health and condition, as they're continuously exposed to any environmental impacts. So recommended studies in this category would examine the extent to which hydropower facilities are impacting aquatic biological communities in the two lakes and downstream Kinney. And finally, the fifth key category where we're recommending study is implications for stormwater management. Recommended studies in this category could help determine whether removal of the hydropower dams would have significant benefits for future City of River Falls stormwater management efforts. As I mentioned previously, Kioptowish and Friends will be submitting detailed comments related to our five major study categories by the May 23rd comment deadline. And for each of these study categories, we'll be providing a summary of what we know about the existing monitoring work and information relative to the river could potentially be used for these studies. A summary of those monitoring results, observations and impacts, and of course much more detail with regard to recommended studies. In closing, Kioptowish and Friends of the Kinney would like to emphasize that the studies we're proposing will be critical for helping to answer key questions related to the environmental impacts of the city's hydropower facilities. And I'd like to emphasize that that could be done in a manner that's scientifically based and factually grounded so that we can have a discussion around those results. After the comment period closes on May 23rd, please feel free to contact us if you have any questions about the studies we're proposing. And as the city's relicensing process plays out, also please let us know if you'd like our input on study design and implementation. And in closing, I'd like to just thank you for hosting this evening's public hearing, providing Kioptowish, Friends, and the public with the opportunity to provide comments on this very important community issue.
Thank you. Next, Randy Thorson.
As Randy comes up, I think I'm just going to build on that and just give a, you kind of just come on up. I'm going to give an 8-second commercial here for public power. I mean, people here are aware that we are a municipal electric public power utility. And I made a note and I thought this is really evidence of your local municipal utility making decisions that are often influenced by local people. And that's happening right here tonight. And this is really the beauty of public power. And I'm proud of that.
Thank you. I have to adjust this. Kent's a lot shorter than I am. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Randy Thorson with the National Park Service. I'm with the Hydro Program, and under a program under the Federal Power Act, we're one of the agencies that comment on your relicensing. So I'm just here tonight to say that to you, that I'm present. I think there's other agency people, which I know in the audience. And I do want to thank you for hosting not only this, but the tour. I know it made your administrator pretty nervous when all of us were walking around there, especially in the turbine room, is like how many people can get in a Volkswagen, how many people can get a turbine. But I'll be looking at the process. You know, that's what I'm charged with. I've done this for many years. I'm located locally here. I do know River Falls. And I just leave you with three things I've been mentioning. And I think the three things that stand out with me with through my many years of experience are collaboration. I think it's been mentioned a couple times. I'd really like to see it groups work together. Everyone I've talked to, that's where I'm coming from. Consideration. I think consideration, the studies that have been suggested tonight and the studies will be coming up to consideration. And the third one is evaluation. And I think through my experience, I've been doing it all over the country, I think the evaluation that you folks have and FERC and everything for what those studies show or say to lead you to a decision. So that's really all I'll say tonight is I'll be looking at those things and you'll be seeing my comments during the process. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie Pata. Thank you. Ben Hamilton.
I'll pass it.
Thank you. Cheryl Latch.
My name is Cheryl Latch. I'm the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources FERC coordinator, and I'm really here just to introduce myself to you guys, letting you know that the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will be intimately involved with the consultation process, including issuing certifications should the city pursue the relicensing of their project.
Thank you. John Welter.
I just want to say, too, for the DNR folks who are here tonight and for the crowd, that it shows the dedication and commitment of our local DNR. Thank you very much for coming this evening. So.
Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight. I don't know if my voice will last 5 minutes, although some of my friends think that I probably wouldn't be able to give up a microphone even if I was totally hoarse. My name is John Duke Welter, and I work for Trout Unlimited. I'm our Midwest Conservation Coordinator. I've worked on small dams-related issues for the last 20 years. TU is the nation's largest organization that works on conservation and restoration of cold water resources. We have over 155,000 members across the country, over 5,000 in Wisconsin, and you've already heard from Kent Johnson of the Kaiaptoish chapter, which is a very well-respected group within our organization as well as a community. We respect science and we work for healthy rivers in many ways, and often we have found that removal of obsolete or economically marginal dams is a healthy thing for rivers and healthy for the economy of the communities where they're located. Now, Mike Page has already eloquently described a vision for the river that could be a part of this community in the future. And I think I'd like to suggest that there are other places in the state of Wisconsin that you might look for expressions of that. That kind of a vision for the community, because they have already had discussions about the potential removal of dams that have been a part of those communities since their founding. Sometimes those discussions have been bruising, but in many of those communities, those dams have ended up in, or those discussions have ended up in the removal of dams. And I would suggest to any of you that it would be worth your while to visit some of the communities where that discussion has taken place and see what has come about in the aftermath. I'll give you an example. In Baraboo, four dams were removed, small dams were removed, after a healthy public discussion in the 1990s and the early part of this century. Many in the community could not envision that city without slow water, algae-filled impoundments on the Baraboo River because they hadn't seen anything different in their experience or in the experience of their community. However, they really talked in Baraboo about the pluses and minuses and the costs and benefits and different visions of the community, and they resulted in they have removed those dams, and the corridor along the Baraboo River offers this extensive bikeway system and canoe landings for a very, very usable, paddleable river. There are opportunities for bird watching and angling and sitting on a bench and watching that river flow by. There are picnic lands and park and picnic grounds and other amenities. And thousands of people come to Baraboo just to enjoy the that river as a result of the changes that have taken place there. And they didn't when Baraboo had that set of impoundments there, although they did come for the circus and all that sort of stuff. So they spend money there, and they patronize local businesses and things. And Baraboo, I think, is much the better as a community for that change that they allowed or enabled to take place. Other dams have been removed in places like Colfax, not far from here on 18 Mile Creek, where it flows into the Red Cedar. Colfax has a lovely village park where they used to have a shallow impoundment. In Merrill and in West Bend and in other communities, after a debate, the dams were removed, and those communities appreciate the rivers now they have flowing through them. So you need to think at some point along the way in this process, whether it's a result of a formal study for the FERC relicensing or part of the discussion that this city needs, the city may wish to have about the continued usefulness of the dams. You may need to want to take a look at other communities like Menominee and Eau Claire. I lived in Eau Claire for 25 years, and I watched a discussion about how that the river, the Chippewa River in Eau Claire, was an industrial refuse mechanism for decades since the founding of the city, really. And why would you want to have bike paths along it? And why would you want to encourage it, that corridor, as a recreational amenity? And now if you go to Eau Claire, where the river is cleaned up, partly as a result of the Clean Water Act and partly as a result of citizens' efforts, the bike trails are in place. They have beautiful riverside parks that allow people to enjoy a tremendous number of recreational, economic, and social opportunities. And the rivers are becoming well-loved, not only by residents, but by people who come in to visit and paddle and to float inner tubes down that river every summer day, hundreds and hundreds of people. It has a tremendous impact on the recreational economy of the community. So another thing that I see in the work that I do around the Upper Midwest, particularly in the Driftless area, is that there are some communities who really understand and welcome the value of these healthy rivers as part of the offerings that might be available to anglers. And anglers are a traveling bunch. As you know, you probably see a fair number of cars with blue and green license plates along the Kinnekinnick on any day during the trout season. But angling to communities across the Driftless area is an important part of their recreational economy. A study done by North Star Economics in 2008 found that the impact of recreational angling in the Driftless area itself was about $1.1 billion a year. A certain amount of that comes to Cross Plains and Lanesboro and Viroqua and Westby. And really, the decision that you make about the river here may mean that River Falls becomes even more than it already is. One of those places that's a center for this recreational opportunity, among others, that are centered around the river. So turning around and looking back at the river is a really nice opportunity to develop these other visions about what this river might offer for River Falls. And I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this, even as an observer with experience in other areas. But I relish seeing what comes at the conclusion of this discussion when River Falls has made its decisions. So far, you've made a great effort for civil discourse on the issue, and I look forward to watching what happens next. Thank you.
Thank you. Dave Fedorazzi.
Good evening. My name is Dave Fedorazzi. I'm the executive director for the Kinnekinnick River Land Trust, based here in River Falls, and has the whole watershed as our service area. We have been here for just 20 years as of last December. We have protected almost 3,000 acres of sensitive conservation lands through working with private landowners, individuals, to protect and conserve their properties. And we're proud to say that we just partnered with the City of River Falls this last year to protect about a 4.5-acre piece just off of North Main Street that we worked with the city and got support from the city, and in turn transferred the property to the city as conservancy land. And we're also proud to be a partner and have the city partner with us, helping us by providing Glen Park as a site of our annual Kinney River cleanup on April 26th. So I'm here as a partner and a partner organization. Our mission is to work with the community to conserve and protect the beauty and health of the Kinnekinnick River and its watershed. And as the first part of that mission, it's really exciting to see so many people from the community here with an interest in this process and this issue. My experience is everyone from River Falls has their own personal relationship with the Kinney, and that's a good reason, I'm sure, why so many people are here tonight. With respect to the rest of our mission in terms of working to conserve and protect the beauty and health of the river, there are a number of things that this project could have an impact on those two areas relative to the river resource. As a part of preparing for this meeting and anticipating filing comments as a part of the process, one of the things that I anticipated to listen to more tonight was the city's own summary about the pre-application document and what's in there and what the plans are for pursuing the application. So there hasn't been a lot of presentation tonight. The site visit this afternoon was very helpful in having some insight about the site and the facilities themselves. But I, for one, would be interested in having some more conversation and dialogue with the city about the document and the process going forward. I am nowhere near the scientist that Kent Johnson is, but I think he's got a good bead on what the kinds of studies ought to be. In reviewing the PAD document so far, I was pleased to see that the original license was attached from 30 years ago. But it doesn't appear that there was much study, specific study, on the project area itself done at that original license time. And I'm not sure that there has been a great deal of site-specific study in terms of water resources, aesthetics, the hydrology, basically all of the things that Kent identified tonight. And I think those are important. The studies that have been done are relatively regional in nature, covering the whole watershed. And I think there are some important site-specific issues relative to the river as it enters and leaves the project area and certainly associated with the impoundment. So I guess in closing, what I'd like to ask is for the opportunity to listen some more and share some more with the city, with the staff, with the utility, and the other stakeholders and interested parties in identifying what issues might be studied more carefully and in turn come out with the best decisions for the community as a whole. So I guess I would maybe even in the first half of this 60-day period that you might invite those of us who have expressed an interest in the studies and the study plan to sit down with you and talk about that in a dialogue fashion so that we don't ask for something you've already done, and we do ask for things that are meaningful studies. So appreciate, and again, thank you very much for the opportunity to visit with you tonight.
Yeah, and along those lines, too, I think what we'll do is Ray, again, will synthesize these thoughts, comments, questions, and concerns from tonight. We'll put those together. Ray will get those posted on our website so people can observe them. And then Ray will start crafting, and Ray and Chuck and myself and Brian Hatch and Scott will start crafting some ideas, you know, to start answering your questions. So,
Great. Thanks.
And then
very
we can
much.
Begin the continue the dialogue.
Excellent.
Absolutely. And we are still in the information gathering stage. We know there's still more information out there, and it sounds like some of our community partners have some of that information that we can work together on putting out for everyone to see. So, yes, this process will definitely be continuing that way. That concludes the list of people who initially signed up, but we can take more people. Yes, there's plenty of time. Just state your name for the record.
Thank you, Ray. Hello, my name's Hal Watson. I live in the city of River Falls at 215 7th Street. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. Some of you know me, but for those who don't, I served on the River Falls Plan Commission for 3 years, starting in 2000, and then also for 4 years I was on the City Council from 2003 to 2007. I'm a part of the Friends of the Kinney organization, and I'm also a vice president of the Kenny River Land Trust, although Dave is speaking for the Land Trust tonight. I'm really excited to see all of you here tonight. This is like the best thing I've ever seen. I want to thank the folks on the utility and advisory board, and also the city council who are here, just for all your hard work that you put in to making the city a great place to live. And I do want you to know that the city and utility staff have been absolutely courteous, open, and helpful in answering many of the questions that have come up over the preceding weeks leading up to this meeting. One of the things that I came to appreciate during my time on the Plan Commission and the City Council was, as much as I disliked controversy and argument, the process of conflict and debate and the sharing of different perspectives almost always led to much better decisions at the end of the day. So even though there are some of us here tonight that are on different sides of this issue, I do ask that we all, and it's, so far it's been kind of a love fest, which has been really nice for a non-conflict person like me. I think I have a lot of faith that the process, even though there be some back and forth, is going to lead us to the best decision. I think it's fair to say that this is a complicated, multifaceted issue, and at this stage, none of us in the room really have a clear understanding of all the factors that need to go into deciding whether to relicense or not, and beyond that, whether or not to eventually remove the dams. My gut tells me that there's a win-win end game here for the city, for the ratepayers, and for the river. But until that becomes clear, my goal regarding this multi-year process is to make sure that we have a full discussion of the pros and cons of relicensing, which we've started doing, and that we fully and transparently engage with each other and the community, and that we eventually get a decision on what the future of the dam should be that makes the most sense financially for the ratepayers and for the city residents, while taking advantage of every opportunity to improve the health of the river that's at the heart of our community. I know this is possible with some hard work and some patience. My specific concerns tonight revolve around our need to get a thorough understanding of the financial operations of the hydroelectric operation. The more I learn about the past and future obligations for operation and maintenance of the facilities, the more I worry that simply proceeding with business as usual is not a smart fiscal strategy. With this in mind, I believe that at least two financial studies are needed so that we can get to the bottom of what is really the most cost-effective solution. And first of all, this didn't come up in my mind until today, but there's one thing I think everybody needs to understand, and that is the process of relicensing, just the process itself, can turn out to be a pretty expensive endeavor. We all need to recognize that the city and taxpayers may spend anywhere between $100,000 and $500,000 just to get the status quo situation in 2008. So relicensing is not cheap. If you look at the FERC website, you can see other relicensing operations that are in progress and how much they're spending on them. So I think one important thing is that we need to produce an estimate of how much this relicensing process is actually going to cost and incorporate that into any financial analysis. The first thing we really need to know on the financial side, in my mind, is we need an analysis of the profitability of the hydro operations as they've been run for the past 30 years. So it's essential to know the finances of the dams from 1984 to 2014. The way to make good financial decision going forward is to look at the long period of financial performance going back. And I think that's going to take some forensic financing analysis because I don't know, but I believe that some of those records are probably buried and not easily understood. But it's not sufficient just to have a model of where we think we are going to be spending money in the future. We've got to look at whether or not this has been a reasonable operation for the last 30 years. There's a current perception right now out there that our dams are profitable, but I don't necessarily think that's correct, and we need to actually get to the heart of that question. Have important costs and debts been factored into that analysis? There was refacing done in the late 80s or early 90s. That cost quite a bit of money. And there's always maintenance that's being done in order to upkeep a facility and an operation of this size. Looking forward, we need two financial models with reliable predictions of future profit and loss. This financial analysis going forward is going to require input from some engineering experts regarding things like the lifespan of the dams, how long can the community expect to enjoy the benefits of these dams before serious repairs have to take place. Likewise, I think we'll need some similar expertise around estimating the costs of decommissioning the hydroelectric facility if we choose to do that as a community. And possibly removing the dams and restoring the impounded areas along the lines of the Lake George Recovery Plan. I was on the City Council when we adopted that plan and passed it to EPA for potential funding. So the first option I think that has to be looked at, and we've all been discussing, is keep the hydroelectric facility and the dams, maintain and upgrade them as needed. From now until 2048, that's the lifespan. Some of the questions that I think we're going to need to be addressed are, you know, what percentage of the city's energy use will the dams provide us in 2048? Currently, that's roughly 1.3%, 1.5%. Likely, this is going to continue to drop over time, since the city will inevitably grow and production won't significantly increase. In the PAD, the pre-application document, there's a line item. It's very thin on finances. There's not a whole lot in there, actually. So it's very hard for us to understand, you know, where you're coming from with some of the numbers that have been thrown around. But there is a line in the pre-application document specifying that there's going to be a $1 million investment in the hydroelectric operation during the life of the potential new license to come. There was some mention, Scott mentioned the bluff stabilization issue, and I appreciate his bringing that up. That is potentially a $2 million project. Now, I know we've heard that it's not necessary now that the generators are gone, but I haven't heard an engineer tell me that. I haven't seen anybody do a study of whether or not that bank is actually stable. And so as much as I want to take that at face value, I think we need to actually get to the bottom of that through some licensed engineering study. There has been some note of seepage, leakage, cracking around the edges of the structures in past inspection reports, and we need to learn more about that. Scott mentioned some upgrading of the facilities that will take place or that are proposed to take place for 2015, 2016, and 2017. That's a $3 million project. If we don't want these hydroelectric dams to be in operation for next 30 years, why would we spend $3 million upgrading them in the next 3 years before the license is approved? So that's just, not all of those, though some of those costs may have already been and probably have been accounted for in budgeting. But I think as a community, we want to ask ourselves, is this really where we want to go? There was also some concrete refacing work done, as I said, in the early 90s or late 80s. How long is that going? How long is that going to last, and when will that need to be redone? The substations last roughly 25 years. At some point, we're going to have to do maintenance on those as well. Perhaps that's included in the $1 million. So the other area that I think we need to take a look at is, you know, what happens when if we decommission and remove the dams. You know, what are realistic estimates of the cost to remove the dam structures, to recover the stream banks and the lake beds, to implement, for example, an updated Lake George recovery plan? That's not cheap. I understand that. And what could be done with the real estate that the city owns? Are there options to generate income from leasing the building, from selling, from co-developing that property where the power plant is and related properties? How much is the power plant site worth and some of the acreage around it? And what might be the economic benefit of removing the dams, as mentioned by some of the other folks, to business, tourism, recreation, and redevelopment? So my issues really, I just want to throw those out and say they're questions that I have, and I think they're questions that a lot of other people have in the community, and I look forward to continuing the discussion, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would still like to make a comment?
Still two seats in the front row.
Yeah. Please state your name.
My name's Lou Grub. I've lived here in River Falls since 1968. So I've seen a lot of the Kinnikinick and Lake George in that time. There's one issue here that I haven't heard much reference to today, and I think needs to be put out in front and talked about, and that's the silt in the bottom of those two lakes. And what we need, and I understand there were maybe were some corings done or one coring done 15 years ago, and if that information is available, I don't know where it is, but it may be. But I think what we need is a grid mapping of the lake with the core depths or the depths of the silt indicated, and then some chemical analysis done. I suspect a lot of that silt is highly contaminated with runoff from agricultural land, from runoff that's accumulated here in the cities, and there may be heavy metals in it, and you know, what are you going to do with that if you're going to reclaim that land? You have to know how much is there, how what kind of a gorge do you want after the dams are gone? One comment this afternoon to me was, well, if we take the dams out, the Kinnikinick will just wash that stuff out of there in no time. Well, I don't know what the DNR would think of that, but I don't think that would go over too well. So we'd probably have to remove it and dispose of it somewhere. And I think you need to think about what it would take to dispose of that, what the cost would be. And if it's hazardous waste, it's going to get pretty expensive. Thank you. Anyway, as far as Lake George is concerned, I look at it as kind of a wildlife refuge here in the middle of town. And I've taken my granddaughters down there several times just to watch the wildlife on the lake. I don't know where you'd see it if you didn't have it down there. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Can you put this one?
Hi, my name is Jared Blades. I'm a new resident here of River Falls as of about 10 weeks, and I'm also a new professor of conservation and natural resource management here at the UWRF. And I just wanted to reflect a lot of what people have said about applauding the efforts that have been made, both in terms of the city having an open door and a transparent procedure and how this is going, but also in terms of how many people have showed up to a meeting like this and shown interest. Tonight, I'd just like to speak briefly on my own behalf rather than the university. I have about 15 years of natural resource experience related to environmental planning, field biological monitoring, and public involvement. And, you know, I think this has been a really successful process just in terms of how focused and how constructive the comments have been from everybody. Like an example of that is we haven't heard one mention of Navy sonar impacts on marine mammals, and we haven't heard about Obamacare at once. And so so I think just right there, that's a win for what's gone on tonight. Another part of that, some observations, is a concept of decision space. And I think Scott really tried to address that early on, is I encourage you to just make it very clear to people what are the bounds of the decision that's going to be made with this process. What is on the table, what's off the table, and why, and to prevent any conflict going forward. I've also heard a mention of the concept of cumulative impacts and consideration of externalities. So thinking about not just the action being made, but how that interacts with other costs and other situations that are being evaluated in the region. I heard climate change, and I think that's an important topic to consider. The public involvement process, I think there's a lot of opportunities beyond this for an expanded public involvement process, where you give people opportunity to work in small groups to help with the decision process that I've seen used in larger dam relicensing procedures in the West. Sounds like you're on the right track to taking a comprehensive look at the biological, physical, and social and economic impacts, and I think that's a really key piece of the puzzle. And in terms of the expanded public involvement, just that concept of collaboration and transparency, I encourage that moving forward. And I also just want to thank you for having our students at this event and also at other events. I know that they do take up space, but this is an invaluable opportunity for these students to see this process in action. This is really where the rubber meets the road in a lot of natural resource management issues. And so the opportunity for them to be here is great. And the relationship between the university and the municipality and the different agencies of the region seems great. And I look forward to experiencing more of that. So thank you.
Yeah. I want to build on that, too, for your students that are here. Sometimes a young college student thinks things just happen in a vacuum or they happen somewhere. This is where it happens, right here. This is public democracy in action right here. So you're seeing it working. This is it. You're part of it. Congratulations for coming.
Thank you. Any more comments? Yes.
Hi, I'm a student. I've never spoken in front of this many people either. Actually, maybe one time, but not with this color of hair. Never that. But
would you state your name, please?
My name is Jack Heron. I'm a new resident of River Falls. Moved here for school. But I'm chief of media of ECOS Group on campus, the Environmental Core of Sustainability. We focus more on divestment of the community, but just letting you know that we have an ear in here. We have four members, including the president, Mr. Dan Saunders. He's the one who started it all. So we have an ear in. Thanks. We definitely have a lot of good speakers in our community. So good job, especially the guy in the green shirt, Mike Page.
That was good.
Really good. He was my favorite speaker, I'd say. So thanks for repping us, and we'll continue to listen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else, feel free to step forward.
My name is Tony Stifter. I'm a past resident of River Falls, currently a resident of Minnesota, so I don't know if my words carry as much weight as a resident. But a simple observation that I offer to you is that the day you install a dam is the day you make a commitment to, at some point, remove that dam. What happens in the lifetime of that dam is you incur costs, and the longer the dam is there, the more the costs are. The benefits of the dam are realized early in its life, and the costs build as the dam grows older. The sediments build up. The longer they're there, the worse it gets. At some point, all of this needs to be dealt with. It doesn't make any difference. Well, it does make a difference if you deal with it now or if you deal with it in the future. But the cost is different depending on which path you take. That's really all I have.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
I just figured I'd mention, since I'm here, my name is Nick Utrup. I'm a biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Actually, I'm really happy to see everybody here. I've been through many relicensings, and I don't think I've ever seen this many people at an initial consultation meeting, so it's great. I just wanted to mention that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is here to, as a participant, as an agency, because it's this is licensed through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The service provides federal-to-federal consultation. We work with the National Park Service and put together comments. So we will be providing comments, written comments for this. So thanks.
Hi, my name is Sean Helling. I've been a resident of River Falls for 23 years, born and raised here. And in the past 23 years, I've been fishing the Kinney about 15 years. And from the difference between the upper and lower dam, in the lower dam, I have caught several different species of fish. Sucker, red horse, bullhead. I catch smallmouth down there regularly. I'll show pictures if anyone wants to see it for proof. But above the upper dam, I've only caught one species of fish, and that is trout, and that's the only species I've ever caught. So with that in mind, I would just like to stress the importance of invasive species of fish, and what we have in place is a protective barrier. And I would just like to make sure that we make sure removing the dam would be the smartest decision going forward on. We already have something in place that is preventing, from what I have experienced, of invasive species of fish. So with that in mind, thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you.
Okay. None of my staff will say no, so that's good. To me, hopefully. So a couple of things. I think there is going to be people now wanting for a conclusion, of which there is not going to be one. So we really do not have a strategy. We didn't come in as staff with, okay, this is how we get through the meeting, and then we can go on and get this done. So we're going to take in everything we heard. We'll take in continued comments. I'm sure that you'll all be emailing Ray and not me. But you're welcome to email me also or call. And we will develop what we think the next steps are as we kind of synthesize that information. So I apologize that, you know, there isn't a big hoorah at the end of the meeting, but there, I think that should demonstrate to folks that we don't have kind of, okay, listen to them and then let's get on to the next thing. The city council will have to provide some instruction to us as staff whether or not this should be elevated to a priority project. I think we understand what your vision is, but you know, I work for those eight of them as a collective, so I often need to understand what we're not going to do if we spend a lot of extra effort on the relicensing process, and we'll follow their lead, and they never have a problem telling us which direction they want us to go. So we'll go from there. We'll do our best effort as staff to try to keep the input. Our understanding of the process from here on out is we need to submit something to FERC saying this is what we propose to study or what we think needs to be studied. We understand we'll be hearing from other stakeholders about what they need to be studying. We will likely engage in some discussions with those stakeholders about, well, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? We may come to a consensus on certain things where we say, sure, that's we're planning to do that. That makes sense to us. There's likely things that we won't agree with. As Mr. Watson mentioned, I mean, our goal here as staff is to spend money wisely on things that we think are provide us good information for decision making. So we likely will not do the laundry list of every possibility out there. We'll do what we always do, which is do a thorough job and use facts to try to help us with decisions. So you'll be happy to know that we have ample financial data. So I don't believe we'll be doing a lot of forensics. We'll just be doing some spreadsheets, which is not too hard for us to do. We will be able to account for the cost of the dam there. You know, it is not separately accounted for in the sense of a business or the balance sheet and the profit and loss, but we certainly have financial information going way back on what our costs, both direct, and then we have good estimates of what our indirect costs are for overhead and things like that. So no doubt we'll be able to. We fully depreciate all the capital investments that we make in any infrastructure, especially utility infrastructure. We know to the penny how much it costs us to do the reconstruction in 1991. We know what the useful life is estimated, what the depreciation per year is. So I really think that's the easy part of this all. We can provide pretty good confidence and I think consensus on what the dam is doing. If we've given you the impression that we believe that the dam is highly profitable, that's not our intention because we don't measure the dam on its profitability. So we'll have to do a separate analysis to determine whether that's the case or not. It appears that the offset cost of electricity clearly outweigh the expenses, even if we consider depreciation of the expenses plus allocation for future removal of the impoundments and things like that that we have ongoing. We also have $100,000 in a fund for maintenance, any capital maintenance on the dam, so the city is in good fiscal shape to handle anything that would come up in the short term because it's not likely we'll have a decision. If something happens in 2 years to the dam, we might have to make a decision on repairs or something before we have a final process. So I hope people will bear with us, be patient, understand that we're listening, and know that this doesn't take a number of months. This takes a number of years. So we'll be in it. Hopefully you'll all be with us through the process. And if you can't be with us through the process, then you can, I guess, help those people that will be speaking on your behalf stick with us so we can get good information throughout. Anything you wanted to add?
Not really. Just as a utility director, I'm really glad to see so many people are paying attention to local utility issues. It's great.
So as we always do with public meetings, staff is more than happy to stick around. They should all, if they're following the rules, they should all be identified by their city name tags, and we'll stick around and as long as we can. I have to pick my daughter up from gymnastics at 9, so I got to draw the line somewhere. But we're happy to stick around. I understand some people don't want to ask questions in front of the group, and we appreciate those of you who signed up and then didn't speak because they were already your comments were already made. So appreciate it, and we'll stick around. But thanks. There's probably still refreshments and sandwiches left in the training room.